in addition to having hand lotion down here, I should have like honey down here or something.
For
my throat.
Oh. It's like imagine you rubbing honey. Sometimes my brain doesn't transition well. I'm like still stuck on the putting lotion on the hands. And I'm like, why would we put putting honey on our hands? This is why I would not be good at improv. I can't.
No, actually, that would be very good at improv. That's a whole that takes the scene in a great direction.
I was like, that's very sticky. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just set it there and then I let the ants come and eat it off. It's like my gift to the ants. Okay.
All right. Oh, I don't have my little intro written here because I just used your
welcome.
Notes.
Do you want me to feed you the line? I can hold up a cue card.
Welcome to From the Bleachers, the only podcast.
Where?
Real Housewives, what do I say? I don't even know. This is, I need
a
script.
The only podcast that recognizes that Real Housewives is a sport.
Okay. Welcome to From the Bleachers.
This is our new cold open.
The only podcast that recognizes that Real Housewives is a sport. Today we're covering the plays in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season 13, episode 20. It's the last part of a third part of a three-part reunion. What'd you think?
Who are you, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I'm Sandra.
I'm Mandy. To answer your question, Sandra, I thought that we were once again stuck in a three-part format that could have been a memo, more or less.
I agree with you for a lot of what happened in parts one and two. I actually thought this part was good.
There was one thing about this part that was good, and that is that we had somebody emotionally filleted in front of us. Like, she was just opened up, and here we go. Like,
she played very emotionally. It was a very emotional play. And, so
and
that's
she had
why
her emotional support Hilton there, too, which was nice.
She did. So I actually thought there was a lot of good play this episode. There just wasn't a lot of play by a lot of players.
I guess that's a good way to say it. I apologize, Bleacher Nation, because this episode, I was in a bit of a snarky mood when I watched it. And so my commentary may be a little snarky today.
I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good ending to the reunion. I felt like we didn't get what everyone wants from Kyle, but I wasn't expecting it. And sometimes you have to go in with the correct expectations. And I thought what we did get from her was actually quite beautiful. She did. She opens up the way she normally does. And I actually think that's a great play.
Yeah. Life is all about managing expectations.
So we get a little coming up. D-Lax says, is Kathy coming? And Kathy is coming. He introduces her as the Grand Dame of Beverly Hills. This is maybe it references other things, but it's like a Potomac reference. In Real Housewives of Potomac, there's someone who from the very beginning, her name is Karen, has always been called the Grand Dame of Potomac. And they actually did a whole play on her this season. Someone else crowned the rookie this year as the new Grand Dame just to ruffle Karen's feathers. It didn't really work, but it was a good idea. So Kathy alleges that she is more sensitive than Kyle. And we get some D-Lac face play as Kyle says no. We see that D-Lac and Dorit ask Kyle if there's more to her friendship with Morgan. D-Lac asks Kyle about Kyle and Mo being separated but living together. Is there any talk of divorce? Kyle and D-Lac are going to dance around what Mo may have done for Kyle to lose her trust in him. And that's a good word, dance around, because there was no actual answering of that question. And I wasn't really expecting it. D-Lac asks Erica who in the group is most afraid of Kathy, which is when Sutton has her IFI, her injury, fear, or illness play. So now we're getting into it. Back to, we're talking about Sutton's drinking. Sutton launches a confrontation play against Kyle that she is insinuating Sutton has a drinking problem by not overtly saying she doesn't think that it's true. And Sutton says, Kyle has been relentlessly mean. And Kyle wonders when. And Sutton says, as Denise would say, watch the show.
You know you're in trouble if you're quoting Denise Richards, right?
Yeah, I didn't feel like we needed a Denise Richards quote here, but it wasn't a good, you know, I mean, it was a strange quote to begin with. So to bring that as yep. your...
I am enjoying her little, like, she seems to be having a little resurgence right now, which is fun. So we're Denise. Seeing her showing up. Yeah, and I think it's because she's probably getting on the promotional tour loop for her movie, Hunting Housewives or whatever.
Hunting Housewives, if you haven't seen the preview for that, you got to go check it out. It's on Lifetime.
We're all very excited to cover that movie.
Are we?
Are we?
Kyle says, you need to shut up and listen sometimes. And Sutton has a good taken aback faceplate. Kyle brings up the fact that Sutton grilled her at the dinner party. And this was good, some good victim play by Kyle here.
This is something that we say in our house a lot, not in a nice way. But here, I think Kyle is using it well. The best defense is a good offense. So she, as she is being sort of confronted by Sutton, she launches sort of a counter offensive against Sutton. Yeah, and basically is like, you are not a compassionate friend.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. So insider info here, Mandy and I do our own notes on our own parts that we're in charge of for the episode, but I was not feeling well, my IFI yesterday. And so Mandy did all the notes. And so I'm kind of working from her notes. And that has been interesting because I can tell more what's in the Peacock version versus what's in my version.
Oh,
so there are a couple things in here. It seems like they extended this conversation more that you had in your notes that I was like.
Yeah, this episode was extended and uncensored. I don't know that Peacock's parts 1 and 2 were also that, but this, but 3 was. And there's, you know, no bleeping when they're swearing, which is, you know, really relaxing, I think. Those beeping sounds are just, they cause such tension.
you'd rather just hear them say fuck and shit. And
exactly, which is why we have an explicit rating.
So yeah, there was a couple lines in here that you had in your notes that I was like, I didn't see that in mine. And I was watching it as I was reading your notes. So I was able to compare directly, which normally I'm not able to do.
I like it. That's the level of analysis we go to, folks.
Delac says, where do you go from here? And Kyle and Sutton both know in their hearts that they will be fine. Sutton even produces tears talking about her love for Kyle or Kyle.
Kyle.
She says, I really miss you, Kyle. And the two hug it out on stage and Kyle keeps making her hugging. Such good friendship play, I thought, from two standout players this season. Like, this is the Housewives formula. You get pissed off, you battle it out on screen, and then you play that party line of, but we're all friends here. This is my true friend. I can always forgive her. We will work it out.
And this is the 4TRR of Housewives, right? You are here for the right reasons, and it is because you are all good friends.
So genuine friends.
Genuine friends. So genuine that it was actually DLAC, and that's Dark Lord Andy Cohen for everyone who forgot their acronym handbook. DLAC actually called that play. He said, what's going to be next? I think you guys should hug it out. So he was like the coach there telling the players, this is what you need to do next.
Yeah. And someone, I watched it a couple times. I think it was Erica, but I'm not 100% sure. One of the other players, when they said yes to hugging it out, was like, really? I was like, who was that? And I was trying to look, but I couldn't tell. I think it was Erica.
I'm 100%. I bet it was Erica. That's my 100% guess. So, and also she took that opportunity though. They like showly, they slowly turn and have a cut of her drinking Coca-Cola from a can with a straw behind her clown cushion pillow. And for those of you who didn't listen to our coverage of the Salt Lake City reunion, that's where we discussed the fact that on these reunion episodes, the pillows are like clown cars. Like the women just stuff all sorts of stuff inside of it. And you never know what's going to come out. If you really never know on this episode, this was a very exciting clown car cushion moment at the end of this episode.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff coming out of these cushions. That was really interesting. I don't think I would have noticed the drinking Coca-Cola if you hadn't put it in your notes. And the logo was outwardly yep. facing. So yep. I was like, is this a sponsorship product placement thing?
I know, right? Who knows? Who knows? If it wasn't, then I call error on on the producers.
Yeah, you got to cash in on that. So they take a break. They bring Kathy out. She's pausing on the trailer steps for photos. D'Lac is annoyed that they're waiting. They think they're waiting for Kathy to get mic'd. Kyle jokes they should wrap it up now, which gets a big laugh from Anna Marie. Kyle jokes that she hasn't even had the chance to play any tears yet. And Erica quips back, "Then we can't leave until you do." Erica knows the game.
That was a fun moment.
We absolutely can't leave until we get some tears out of someone. And we all know it's Kyle this season. Sutton takes this moment to set up her IFI play. She says she's hot and uncomfortable. Kathy finally enters. They seat her next to Kyle on the couch.
Which I thought was really interesting because normally when a friend of the show comes on, like we saw that with Mary Cosby at Salt Lake, right? Like whoever comes on is often put at the very end of the couch. I wondered if that was something that Kyle said, like, she has to sit next to me. Like, I need her next to me to handle what's going to happen.
That could be. But also, I've been watching a lot of these reunions now because I'm now going through and trying to calculate the RSS, the reunion seating scores for every single franchise. Because now I'm obsessed and I have to know if anyone beats Kyle in any other franchise. Not yet, I'll say, not yet, but I haven't worked through all of them yet. And so now I'm noticing some of the patterns more. If it's someone with a friend contract, they tend to seat them at the very end.
But okay.
If it's like a personal guest of them, like the husbands usually sit behind.
Right.
But they've had a couple times where only one husband comes and they'll sit directly next to them on the couch.
Okay.
Or like, yeah. And Kyle has had like her sister sit directly next to her on the couch before. There's a couple instances where a guest will be like placed in a random different position. But
okay.
Usually if it's a guest who does not have a friend contract, they sit next to the person on the couch.
Okay. All right. So I take that all back. But we're not going to edit that out because that might be crucial information for new viewers.
This is the close eye with which everyone should be viewing these episodes.
Exactly. Like, is she an emotional support, Hilton, or is she just, you know, a friend?
So Kathy is also holding a crystal. Kyle brought one extra one for her. This is some of that sister play that they're doing. Kathy is happy to be here to support Kyle. So they do a now Kyle talking about Kathy montage, basically. So this is like all the clips where Kyle talked about her relationship with Kathy during the season. Kathy says that she doesn't watch the show, or when they ask her if she watches the show, she says, "I watch all the clips." And he's like, "Oh, so you watch the clip? You don't watch the show. You just watch the clips on social media." And she says, "But I do watch What Happens Live because it's shorter and it moves faster." And
yeah, she like quote says, "It goes by so quick," yeah. Which gets a lot of great face play from D'Lac, actually.
Yeah, I love that. He's like sort of flattered and then insulted in the same moment.
Yep.
As they're watching the clips back, we see Kyle and Kathy holding hands on the couch. Some more great sister play here. And then afterwards, they're talking about the ITM clip where Kyle thinks that everyone wants to be friends with Kathy because she throws a lot of parties. And Erica says Kathy holds the key to Beverly Hills. As they come out of these clips, Kathy's already playing tears, but also laughing about Erica's comment that Kathy controls access to a lot of Beverly Hills as though it's completely ridiculous.
Which I think it's not. It's a little bit silly. I mean, they also like her because she's rich.
Yeah, I don't think Erica's comment is ridiculous at all. I fully think that Kathy is one of those people who wields power and holds it over people, but she'll never admit it to people that she does that. She's one of those people who drive me crazy in the world because like they do things in such a way that they can never be held accountable for it. Like they won't say things directly or they won't do things directly. They'll just like kind of manipulate and do things behind the back in such a way that they always have plausible deniability. And so you can
which is so funny because later on we hear them all talking about the campaign of whispers and whatnot. And like, she is kind of that's how she can operate, right? Is just this subtle behind the scenes campaigning against people if she wants to.
I can totally imagine her being like someone being like, "Oh, because you and I are mad, you made sure I didn't get invited to that party." And she would, and her just being like, "What? Why would you think you didn't get uninvited to that party because of me? Don't be silly. That's a very exclusive party. You wouldn't have been invited to that party anyway." Like something like that. D'Lac asks Erica who she thinks in the group is most afraid of Kathy. And he looks back and forth. This was the best moment. He looks back and forth like he's super excited for her to target someone. But she doesn't take the bait. She just reiterates that Kathy is Beverly Hills and you don't want to get on her bad side. This might have been a little bit of an error. Erica could have gone after someone, but maybe she felt like she learned her lesson after going after Dorit's marriage.
Yeah, she's playing it super smart. She is, yeah. There, I think she's playing with her head right now. And
I was going to say she's playing it safe.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's playing it smart. She's playing it safe, that's for sure. Maybe she feels stable enough that she's like, I don't need to create drama if there isn't any.
Yeah. Well, and I almost wonder, depending on how things take off, I guess she probably wouldn't give up Housewives, but I wonder how things take off with her burgeoning reboot.
Really?
Really?
Like what, her music career?
Give it more of it as her showgirl career. She's like a performance, you know. She's a very well-costumed dancer who sings songs.
I mean, I'm sure she's great, but I just don't think that that's going to support her. I think the only reason that she has such a large following in that is because she's on this show.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see her. She clearly, that's where she gets her joy in life is being that's on true. Stage. She yeah. likes to be looked at. No, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. Like she really enjoys that, being a performer. Anyway. Yeah.
Some people like to perform. I get it. That's why we're on the mic right now. Some people like to hear themselves talk.
Well, I think we have good things to say. It was funny. I'm listening to like the NPR like New Music Friday podcast, and I'm like, oh, we podcast as well as these two ladies. Like
better. Best podcast in the world, I would say. So at this moment is when Sutton makes this startled gasping sound and she falls backward a little bit on the couch, like maybe she's going to faint or something, and she starts shaking. This is her big IFI. Garcelle is asking for a medic, and we cut to commercial.
Such a dramatic cliffhanger. You got to love it. We return with a brief rewind so we can sort of see the IFI as it begins again. Anna Marie, we notice, gets in there very quickly. A paramedic shows up. When Garcelle mentions that Sutton was complaining of being hot, Kathy immediately starts insinuating that Sutton is in menopause because she's 49. She had to expect it to come at some point.
In this moment, I was like, oh my God, we need Kathy back on the show. That's good stuff right there.
That
she's
was
like having an emergency on stage and she's like, oh, menopause.
I love it.
Also, I wanted to point out that Sutton's IFI has created a Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment because they pan out and you see like the whole set and how everyone is reacting to this moment. So that's
yes,
great.
It is great. And we see a lot of what happens while there's an emergency and the type A people are helping out with the emergency. The rest of the world does what the rest of the world does. They're all like on their phones. But we also get to see what makes Erica such a great housewife hostess and why she was such an asset to Tom Girardi, because she just jumps into chit chat with Kathy and they're bantering and having a good time. And
like, have you taken your Christmas tree down yet?
Yeah, you know, like, and it gives them a little bit more attention. So it's a good play, right? Because during the filming, the side conversation becomes one of the more interesting things that happens in this episode.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to make at least Kathy look bad in this moment, because they just show her being on her phone while all this stuff is going on. And probably Erica, they're trying to make her look a little bit bad too by engaging in small talk. Mm-hmm. But we're only seeing like a minute or two.
Right. And this clearly would have gone on.
It probably went on for a long time. In each shot, you can see the women are in different places. Like Kyle's standing way off to the left. And then in the next shot, she's crouched down next to Sutton. And in the next shot, she's like up and like a little bit center stage. And like, and it makes it seem like this is just like 1 minute, but it's really like, this is probably like, they're like 30 yes. minutes in. They've realized that Sutton is not dying. And they're just like right. waiting. For what? Yeah, the
no, these things take time. And I meant to kind of go back and see, because when we then later have Anne Marie next to Crystal on the couch, they're at first really close to each other.
Mm.
And then after one commercial break, they're definitely spaced out and Crystal has usurped the hot seat.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back and just see like, oh, was it always that way? Or did they do any funky editing? Mm. And could you see based on their location on the couch? Anyway.
Mm.
So Anna Marie says something about calling 911, and the paramedic says, we don't need 911, but we should get you checked out. And I just thought, poor Anna Marie, nobody can give her a break, right?
No. Like,
the paramedic just shut her down. I was like, yeah. Whoa, rough.
She didn't have a great episode at all.
No, well, she didn't have much of an episode.
She didn't
Crystal
do
didn't have much
at all.
Of it. Like, nobody really, like, other than really Kathy and Kyle, there was very, and like Sutton before she left, but otherwise it was mostly just cutting to everyone else's faces and seeing them look either disapproving or not.
Yeah. But the fact that Sutton pulled this off, because I don't think Sutton would have had much to add. You know, this takes her out of the game. So you have to say, as much as like the screens were on her and stuff, is it a bad move because this takes her out for the rest of the time and we don't get to see her? She doesn't get any more screen time. But I think the commotion of this offset it, made us all want to know what happened. Is she okay? Probably had people looking up online to see what was the outcome of this and if she's okay.
I did. I can tell you what it was. Did you look it up?
No.
Oh, Sandra.
Well, I was having my own IFI yesterday.
Right, exactly. She was diagnosed with exhaustion, dehydration, and bronchitis, which she thought she had kicked but had hung on and she didn't realize it. So,
okay, interesting.
Those were the things.
But this, that's why, because nobody else was able to get anything in this episode because it was the Kyle show, but Sutton manages to get this whole exciting thing around her and get people probably more followers and attention than she would have if she just stayed there and tried to like put her like 2 cents into something with Kathy and then she'd probably just get totally shut down. This IFI turned into a Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment by Sutton was my play of the game.
All right. There's nothing like a medical emergency. Nothing. Well, so as Anna Marie and Garcelle are walking Sutton off the stage, Crystal throws in a look at me IFI about how Sutton's blood pressure is as high as hers was. And Sutton replies, like, you're scaring me. So they have a little bit of an IFI war there, I felt like. Kathy jokes she was about to go after Sutton next, and Sutton must have sensed it. And then there's all this joking between her and Erica about how it's a good way to get out of being here.
Yeah. As they were leaving the stage, everyone is like telling Sutton, it's okay, you're going to be okay. And Kyle cups her hands to her face and yells, Sutton, you're going to be okay. And she plasters this huge smile on her face with a 2 double thumbs up. And this
I missed that.
Was my face play of the game.
Wow. There is a lot in this moment for you on your scorecard.
Yeah, I loved it. It was good.
So we follow Garcelle and Sutton back out to the trailer, and they're in there eating a banana, drinking orange juice. Sutton's still shaking. Anna Marie, as I mentioned earlier, is now on the couch next to Crystal. They are uncomfortably close. Neither seems very happy about it.
Nope.
And then DLAC helps route us back to Erica's comment about Kathy.
And DLAC mentions that this IFI was a reunion first. And I appreciate him for noting that stat. I'll verify it as I review all the reunions while calculating the reunion seating scores. But to my memory, he is correct.
I love it. So I think we should keep track of something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So Kathy does some nice deflection and she's really trying to keep the focus on Kyle as she answers this question. And she says, Kyle's the strong one. She's really the strong one. So she's playing her position, sister, support, STCO, really, really well. STCO is shoulder to cry on. So Erica replies, hey, I'm on the outside of this group. I don't really care. Kathy kind of agrees. Erica, that she doesn't care, not that she's on the inside. and then Erica has this nice way of saying that Kathy can make things happen in a graceful way with a phone call, which kind of goes back to your point. That graceful way is that, like, no fingerprints.
Yeah.
She leaves no,
nobody,
fingerprints.
Nobody can point any fingers at her in the end.
Crystal joins the fight and agrees Kathy is Beverly Hills. DLAC brings up the Kathy Lisa Rinna 2022 reunion fight, which is now resolved and everyone is friends. So that was yet another breaking news moment.
I had nothing about Lisa Rinna in my cut.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So this whole piece was not in there.
Which just helps support my point that did we really need, it was like 5 minutes of just like,
really
tell us about, you know, you and Lisa Rinna, are you guys friends after that? And yes, we are. And Kyle, what's your relationship with Lisa now? Blah, blah, blah. So we've already wasted more of our lives now on this. But during this, what I liked about this moment actually is there was a good contrast of Dorit and Erica's resting reunion face, which I'm really excited that I've now coined resting reunion face. All Erica right. looks like she's about to fall asleep, and Dorit looks like she's trying to impress the teacher she has a crush on. So like whenever they cut to Dorit, she's got that little eager smile like on her face, and Erica's just like...
I feel like Erica's trying to conserve her energy.
She's got a show, I'm sure, coming up. D-Lag turns the combo to whether Kathy thought the reunion would be, that last reunion would be the end of her relationship with Kyle. She did not. Then they do a magic trick. I was super excited. I love a little prestidigitation in the middle of a reunion. So Kathy hides her fingers and Kyle has to guess how many real fights they've had in their whole life. D-Lag gets some good face play in here as well. And the magic trick works. Kathy had 3 fingers up and Kyle guessed 3. I loved this moment, and this was my play of the game. Because I love a little magic show in the middle of my reunion.
It was great sister play. It was very cute. It was almost a reunion prop. She pulled out her 3 fingers from her clown car pillow.
Right? I like it. So then they discuss the tension between Mo and Kyle's family when Mo left the Hilton business, and how, and Kathy really talks about how nicely he was treated, that the door would always be open to him if his own business failed. And then there's something about he wasn't supposed to poach agents, but he kind of did. And Kyle does not want to revisit all of this business stuff as, to quote Gwyneth Paltrow in Sliding Doors, she has been through enough for 1 year.
Yeah, this sounds messy. I'm sure there's 2 very different versions of the story and what happened between them.
I would imagine there's more than 2, right? I agree, though. That has got to have been a very awkward time.
Yeah.
So we go back to Team IFI with Garcelle and Sutton. They do another blood pressure on her, and she says she feels sleepy and a little nauseous, which, having gone to college in the South, sounds like a standard night.
That's just a standard day for me. I'm always sleepy and nauseous, but, you know.
Right? Yeah,
or... That's my IFI. It's just constant.
So they changed to go to the hospital, or actually I guess they went to urgent care, and then at urgent care they were sent to the hospital. But Garcelle is doing great work as an STCO. There's a lot of good play by her, and it is our second hospital IFI of the season. So first one for the reunion and the second one for the season.
Mm-hmm. Great timing for a menopausal hot flash.
This is exhaustion, dehydration, and bronchitis. Come on. Look, Kathy. Garcelle asks for her phone, which is, of course, in the cushions, and they are in the clown car cushions. D-Lag, we see D-Lag getting the text that Sutton's okay, but she and Garcelle are going to go to urgent care. And D-Lag says, we're all praying for Sutton. And Erica says, absolutely. So D-Lag prays. Erica also prays.
He does. I remember I read and listened on audiobook to many of D-Lac's books, which are like extremely painful recounts of his days.
Why does he have so many books?
They're the diaries. So they're literally diaries of his day. And it's like, and he narrates his own. So I have heard a lot of D-Lac's voice. He narrates his own books, and it's like Friday, December 22nd, 2014. I got up and I did this, and then I did this, and then I went to dinner with these famous people.
Oh my God.
And then I did the show, and so and so was a guest. And then I went and got my 2-hour massage afterwards, and I fell asleep again. And you know, that's literally the entire
book.
Wow,
that sounds a little painful.
So I've listened to a few of them. My goal is to get through all of them, but I've had to take a few month break because I started to go crazy. Why was I talking about that?
Him praying, because he's a praying.
Oh yeah. Man. So from his books, I'm so bad. I would be so bad at this OBOB competition that our kids do. It's like Oregon Battle of the Books. You have to remember details from books. I'm so bad at remembering details, but I remember there being some sort of religion. I want to say maybe even Jewish.
Oh, well, Cohen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a Jewish name. Anyway, so yeah, so you can see that my coverage is a little snarky though, because I'm making fun of that. They're all like searching through the cushions to get everyone's phones. And also we learn they're getting Merce Cunningham's ashes. So there's a lot of, wait, what? reactions and face play. And I think this is another reunion first where the clown car cushions have stored human ashes.
That's so. A very impressive prop, Sutton. Very great work. What I really wanted in this moment as they're going through the clown car cushions is for D-Lac to just be pulling random strange objects out.
That would have been awesome. It would have been like Mary Poppins' bag, right? Just like pulling
like,
out a
what
house
is
plant.
This stethoscope doing here? What is this megaphone doing?
Mary Jim Edison reunion.
Oh, look, it's a pair of panties.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. So yeah, then that's the end of this section. We get a little coming up where once more, we're going to dance around what happened to Kyle, or what happened that Kyle lost her trust in Mo. And will there be anything specific that we're going to get out of that? Survey says no. That's my prediction at this moment
Survey
when I was
says,
taking my notes.
Likely not.
Outcome does not look good.
Magic, is that a magic eight ball? So we come back from the reunion. We're reminded that Merce is in the purse again. Marcel and Sutton are leaving for the hospital. Sutton says she doesn't want to die. We're continuing her IFI with a fear now. Garcelle says she won't die because she still has more feathers to ruffle before she goes. Kyle says she and Kathy reunited at the bridal shower for Kim's daughter. And Kathy tells this whole story about being in the hair salon all alone. There's no music playing. And Kyle walked by and was so excited to see her and went in and sat with her. And it made her feel so included. She's got huge tear play going on.
This is an amazing amount of tear play for this story.
It was like, what is going on?
Like, I've never had such a touching, somebody came and sat next to me in the salon story before.
It's a first for everything. Kathy says she wants to be needed, and Kyle says she does need her, and Kyle is grateful how much Kathy has been there for her lately. It's all very emotional and very beautifully played for both of them. Last episode, if you haven't listened to last episode, you have to go back and listen to it. We had guest host Jackie Maroney on from She's All Batch, and she and I were wondering why Kathy was even here and why she was needed. And in this moment, I was like, yes, we needed this. We needed to tie the bow on their relationship and see them back together again. It made the reunion so like emotional and wholesome, and I loved it.
Can we talk about a relationship? Is that like what happens between a shepherd and their sheep? They get a little too close.
The relationship between them is bad.
That's a bad idea.
This is another beautiful testament to Kyle's high reunion seating score too. Like she gets her whole family and her whole life involved and shows us all of it. And here we get to witness the reunion of them together after a big argument and how much they mean to each other. Beautiful.
Yes.
So now D-Lac gives a dramatic package introduction about a marriage left hanging in the balance, and Dorit gives another oh, and Kyle says thanks Andy,
and he says like I'm sorry, watched.
Oh, I should have, I guess that's an apology play, one pointer,
faux apology,
you think so?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a solid one pointer. He just says I'm sorry, but you know, like
I'm sorry, but I'm gonna play it anyway.
Yeah, sorry not sorry.
You know. So yes, we watch the package. Mo and Kyle are falling in love. They are falling apart. There are accusations of each other. There's bits about Morgan, and we get some tear play from Kyle as she watches this package and from all of us at home. Kyle says the marital issues never went away, and then something happened where she did lose her trust, and D-Lac says because of something he did. And we cut to commercial.
Cut to commercial. I'm sorry. I'm talking over you a lot this episode. I apologize. It's not
as long as you've got amazing things to say, as you always do.
That's some very nice friendship play. Thanks. I feel included. I might start crying.
Oh.
We come back from the break. Kyle has lots of tear play on this PTC. She says she just couldn't put up with the things that she had been putting up with. She had reached a breaking point. She thought it would come back. She thought this was just a phase, but then it didn't.
Yeah, so she doesn't answer his question. Did he do something to make her lose her trust? But it's interesting because she does keep bringing that up. Like, she's the one who has brought up at least twice now that he did something to make her lose her trust, but she won't elaborate. So that's an interesting move. She's like, I need people to know it's his fault, but maybe she agreed with him that she wasn't going to spill what he actually did.
Yeah.
Or maybe she doesn't want to expose it to her daughters or something. There's some reason why she isn't going to say.
Sure, right? She doesn't want to air the dirty laundry kind of thing.
Yeah, but she will allude that there is dirty laundry and that was not on her.
Yeah. I agree. I like this theory. I wonder if there is, I mean, she does talk about there's just so many little things that you put on the back burner when you're in the midst of raising your family and they never get dealt with. And at a certain point, and I think I've even mentioned this on the show before, right? Like, at a certain point, you just, like, you've been hurt enough and there's not enough. This gift, I have brought it up because I brought up Gottman theory.
Like, yes, that's right.
The bank is empty. People have not put enough love deposits in the bank. And that is not, don't go there, dirty-minded people, on love deposits.
I've been reading one of those, you know, it's not the stork and that whole series of books that you read to kids for like sexual education. I've been reading whatever one is age appropriate for Lily right now. So we've been talking about sexual deposits. All about egg and sperm last night. It was a very exciting conversation.
I love it. But anyway, so I feel like it could kind of be that, something along those lines as well. That's another theory. That's the theory that Kyle is not withholding information. But anyway, I don't think that's a popular theory. I think I'm in the minority. Mo has always denied rumors, but there's always that shadow of doubt which plays into it. Erica and Kathy commiserate about how effective the campaign of whispers can be on your mental well-being. And we keep cutting over to the Crystal Anna Marie couch, which at this point is just dead weight. The two of them could probably also go home, and it looks like they're struggling to stay awake. So I don't know why they don't just get excused.
They might want to, at least one of them, maybe both of them, maybe would go home next season. We'll see.
Oh, I know. It makes me sad because I know it will be Anna Marie. But honestly, I don't know that Anna Marie, I think she would be a great housewife given another chance. But I started thinking about it like yesterday as I'm getting up at 5:30 to work out. Like, how difficult is it to maintain that schedule of taking care of yourself personally when you have to go to these events and parties and things like that when you're filming? Like, that's gotta
be a challenge. On top
of her
career, because she has a separate career.
Right.
And it didn't go well for her first season, and she decided not to include very big parts of her personal story. And so she may even be deciding, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's going to be partially her choice if she's not back.
We'll see.
D-Lag asks if the rumors chipped away at her trust. And of course, Kyle says, yes, they made her feel insecure. And Kathy continues playing her great STCO, which can be either a shoulder or a sister to cry on, I guess, holding Kyle's hand. D-Lag mentions this whole situation with DMs that Mo would get from women, and he'd be following women on Instagram, random women, blah, 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 and how that was kind of an issue. And then I get the biggest reveal to me of the episode. Mo is on Dancing with the Stars. Nobody tells me anything. I didn't know that.
I had heard that. I think maybe in a podcast or something I had heard that. I didn't know. I didn't go watch him or anything.
Well, I'm super curious to see this intimate dance that he did with his partner, Emma, something or other.
But Erica was totally correct. All the dances are like that in Dancing with the Stars. That's just how it is. But the clip of them holding hands after like going out to dinner together, to me, that's where I would get upset I'd be supportive. Like, you know what? The dances are intimate. That's part of it. But if you're like holding hands sometime when you don't need to be, because you're not dancing together, now that's going to
trigger. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But then I agree with Kyle. She says she would never have said yes to him doing that if their marriage was in a good place, because she would have been too jealous. And I get that. There's like that chemistry, right, that happens between partners. So, and yeah, and I like that Erica kind of joined the pot stirring, like even a waltz has your pelvises together. So, and D-Lag asks Kyle how she's handling all of the publicity of Mo partying. And she says, you know, it's hard because they still live in the same house. And D-Lag pushes, he grills all the fervor that he can. Like, what is the real reason for your split and why don't you spit it out? He's actually reading a card from a watcher, but you know, he picked that card. And then we go to break.
So we come back and Kyle answers the question. She says, because it's nobody's fucking business, which is a little out of character for her. It was more like a Erica answer. We get an awkward reaction.
Erica's face as she pulls back. It was my first face play of the game, runner up.
Oh, we had a lot of face play from people in this moment. I was surprised to see the like shocked face play or almost disapproving face play from Erica. I felt like maybe they edited that in there because I felt like Erica would cheerlead. Delac asks Kyle if anyone is moving out. Takes a while to respond. She says yes. And when he asks who's going to move out, she takes a very long pause and says he would move out. There's lots of tear play here from her. Kathy puts forward her analysis. She says Kyle was traveling the last 2 or 3 years, doing housewives, enjoying bits of success, and people grow apart. So she's almost putting a little bit of the blame on Kyle in here. And Kyle's not pleased by this analysis.
Yeah, I thought that was really an odd play for Kathy to do that. It was like a little, it's that moment, like they had an earlier package with Sutton, like explaining what Kathy had done. And like, that's when she first identified with Kyle. And then I watched this and I was like, well, that was a little underhanded. Like that was a little, you know, backhanded slap in the face.
Yeah. Anyway. And Kyle says that is not actually accurate to the timeline of her marriage, which, yeah, is also probably another statement of like, you, like, we have been not talking for all this time. So you don't, maybe you don't even know because you haven't been there.
Yep.
Divorce is a hard word to say, Kyle says. She's struggling. Kathy says she only wants what Kyle wants when Delac asks her if she wants them to get back together. And she says, Kyle's happiness is the most important thing. Delac agrees. Delac asks Kyle what Morgan's reaction has been to seeing herself on the show. And Kyle says that Morgan's never seen the show, which leads to some more great eyebrow raised smirk face play by Delac.
Another runner up for face play of the game.
Ooh, the suspense is killing me.
Right.
Morgan was not comfortable with the scrutiny on her this season. Crystal has now firmly placed herself in the hot seat.
Which I don't like. But we know that I'm not going to like much that Crystal does right now. She's just somehow offended me in her attacks on Anna Marie.
Yeah, it just seemed, I feel like Crystal's play doesn't feel authentic.
Exactly.
And there is like, there's some people can pull off the inauthentic play and some people can't, and she's just not pulling it off. And I need to get more into that and why that is, but there's just something that just doesn't work about it.
Yeah. She's trying too hard.
Yeah. So Crystal says she thought that they were together. And this is even before the tabloids were speculating it. She says she always sensed stuff, and Kathy confirms this because they went out to lunch together and Crystal had been talking to her about it. Dorit also thought that the Instagram photos made it look like they were together. They were a couple. And we get some after show clips. Anna Marie is supportive and says it's nice they have a good friendship. Garcelle and Sutton speculate the personal nature of the relationship, like going to the doctor together.
By the way, I just want to say it was so awkward because they have that clip of Anna Marie where she's all sitting alone in this big area and there's just one chair and there's like a huge empty space and it felt weird. And then you see the one with Garcelle and Sutton together and it doesn't look weird. And it just really highlighted how alone Anna Marie was, the juxtaposition. And it made me sad.
So Crystal, who is still in her self-created hot seat here, is kind of playing host now. She asks Kyle when the music video was made. And Kyle says that was filmed a month before the story broke about her and Mo. Otherwise, she wouldn't have done it. And they kind of ask her, Delac probes more about why she did it. And she says she said yes for a reason. She was curious and she's hot. I love this. I love bi-curious Kyle. I love her admitting the feelings of attraction.
And I love Erica's face play here. She's got this like, you go, girl. I'm so glad you admitted it. Smile on her face. And that was my face play of the game.
Okay. Yeah.
I just loved the way she was like, hell yeah.
Girls can be hot to other girls. Yeah, baby. Yeah. And then Delac says, $1 million question, is there anything going on between the two of you? And Kyle stammers, and we cut to commercial.
So we come back from commercial, and Delac rephrases but asks the same question, is there anything going on with Morgan? Which lets you know that they took a legitimate break there. Kyle had some time to think about her answer here. So when she says in that way, and there's another humongous pause, it's like, come on, what's going on here? I can't tell. Is it brilliant play or is it terrible play?
Is it that they took a break or is it that he asked the question multiple times because he didn't like the first answer?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
Like she was stammering and stuttering. And
I guess you raise a valid point.
Maybe someone interrupted and something happened, so he asked it again. I don't know.
Do people interrupt on reunions?
I don't know what game you're watching.
There was some face play there. Okay. So she says no. Are you a couple? She says no. Do you have feelings for her? I love her and she's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So Delac asks Kathy her thoughts on Morgan. She's funny, she's bright, she's humble, she's refreshing. I was blown away by her performance. Then Delac asks, could you see yourself with Morgan? And she says, I don't know.
She says, I don't know, five times. She says a few words and then she says, I don't know again. And then she says, I don't know again. And then she says, I don't know again.
It was a very like a funny, awkward, like these unscripted, awkward pauses, not knowing how to answer. And I just sat there. I was like, she has to know these questions are coming. And did she and Morgan not talk about what they want to be? Who are they in the world? Like, how do you want to answer those questions? So, and then we learn that Kyle is evolving. She's changing. She's going through some sort of evolution. And I think this is both her strength and her weakness as a player, but probably ultimately her strength, right, is to be so real and really sort of kerfuffled in this moment. I just said kerfuffled.
I do think her authenticity in like the things that she's going through in the moment is part of what makes her such a good player. And I love Bicurious Kyle. I love that way back in the beginning episodes, she was, if like girl on girl was brought on, she'd be like, no, you know, and now it's like, oh, now she's opening her mind to that. Like maybe I can be attracted to another woman. I love that we've watched her grow in this way and that she has shared that with us and is showing it to us. And honestly, is she or is she not with Morgan? I guess I don't really care. I just love the fact that she's open to it.
I agree. I love the fact that she's just presenting this like, hey, I don't know, I'm evolving.
Yeah. And if they launch their relationship someday, I'm going to be super excited about it. Don't get me wrong. And I want to see that on the show. But yeah, it's like, I don't fault her for if they're in together and they're not ready to like be together publicly, fine. She'll share it when she's ready. And she's proved that to us. When she's ready, she does let us in.
Yep. So we learn that they're on their way from urgent care to the hospital, our IFI team, Garcelle and Sutton and Merce's Ashes. So Delac says to all the ladies, well, what are your takeaways from the season? Anna Marie says, it was a rough ride. It's important for me to focus on my happiness and my health. Crystal says, I'm going to get so snarky. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be afraid to speak up because my voice matters. And in my notes, I wrote, does it? Does it? In all caps. Dorit may agree with me. She's looking straight up at the ceiling with some great play. Erica says, I'm okay. I'm proud that I showed up for myself. It's been hard, but I feel so much better. And so we'll talk about this at our wrap up, but I want to see, I'm glad Erica had the season to show up for herself now. And we'll also talk about this when we discuss our Hustler Housewife viewing. Mm-hmm. It's time for her to start showing up for other people as well.
Yeah, I mean, she does do that sometimes. Like we saw her show up for Kyle.
Yes.
But it's, in her chosen moments when it's something in someone she cares about and like not, it's not pervasive. It's not all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go back to, her comment in part two about meeting the victims of Girardi's firm's fraud. And it's just like, it was important that they meet her. And I'm like,
yes,
really?
What?
Yeah. Then Delac, it's so funny because he's sort of the way he's moving around the couch. He skipped over Dorit and then went to Erica and then goes to Kathy. She says she's really happy to be there with Kyle tonight and wonderful that you girls do really care about each other and have a sisterhood. And she really respects that. I like that she calls them all girls. She's from a different era. She should be a Southern Belle. Dorit says, not to trust, let me start again. And then Delac again yawns behind his cards and she gets really upset. So help me God. And everybody laughs.
I was totally like, in this moment, I was like, Jackie Maroney was right from last episode. She said, he's not really yawning. He's faking it just to troll her. And I was like, she's right. He was just trolling her.
That totally had that feel like he was just messing with her.
And she didn't seem to be taking it well either.
No, she doesn't seem like she's the kind of person you can play a practical joke on.
Yeah.
So she says she has to be less naive about believing someone is her friend just because they're nice. And Delac says that was about Garcelle, what you were saying. And here we go. Error of the game. She says, yeah.
You think it was a bad move to call out Garcelle?
I don't think her issue with Garcelle is that someone was pretending to be her friend.
Yeah, I think she's trying to frame Garcelle as being for TWR for the wrong reasons. Garcelle claims to be my friend and isn't. Yeah, but it's not working. It's not working on me.
It's not working on me. Like Dorit has, she may have come to the end of my interest in her. That's an awkward way to phrase that.
Yeah, I really think she lost it this season with especially the way she played the race stuff like that. And I hate to even say play when it comes to the race stuff. I just thought she handled it all very poorly.
Yes, she did. She is not she is not evolving very well through those conversations.
Like
no. So we get to Kyle. She says, I may have lost, quote unquote, what I thought was my happily ever after, but I will have my happily ever after no matter what. So she's sort of reframing what her happily ever after looks like, which is great. And Delac says, a lot of optimism. What a great season. This is Andy Cohen. Good night. So we get a quick, where are they now? Sutton is recovering fully at home with her dogs and Avi. And I already gave you the follow-up on her condition.
The selfie was so funny of her and her dog and like Avi in the background. And I was wondering, maybe Avi is gay. I'm not sure. But what about, could Sutton and Avi be getting it on?
I don't think so. Their relationship doesn't look like that to me.
They're just all over each other's social media and everything, even when the show's not filming. And
yeah, they feel like they're like more sort of brother sister.
Okay,
I guess the way I see them. But I don't know. I don't know, but if that is the case, you heard it here first, Bleacher Nation. Sandra broke the story. All right. And then we learn Kyle went to Nashville to see Morgan in concert 2 weeks after reunion and still living under the same roof with Mo while he looks for a new home. And that was it. Nothing on the rest of the ladies.
Yeah. Ta-da. At first I was confused about it, but I was like, I feel like they were just trying to tie up the loose end with Sutton, like what happened after the reunion. And then they gave us a little Kyle because it was the Kyle show. And it was like, do we really need to say anything about the other ladies?
Yeah, apparently not.
There's nothing going on with any of them.
Yeah. All right, Sandra. Now we all know we're going to do a separate follow-up episode, kind of a season wrap-up on Beverly Hills. So all we have left to talk about today is our MVPs. Which way did you go?
Do we want to do a real quick reunion seating score too, though?
Oh, yeah. If you want to, after the MVP, we'll do a quick RSS update after. Yeah, I haven't even looked at that. Thank you for being our mathematician. She's raising her eyebrows. She's very excited.
All right. Well, I thought it was pretty obvious this episode, but for holding down the hot seat, like the highest scoring Beverly Hills housewife player that she is, for having a guest, Kathy, on the couch next to her, for her friendship play with Sutton, her sister play with Kathy, her PTC around her marriage falling apart, and letting us into her bi-curious self-development. Kyle was my MVP.
Yay! Well, here's the direction I went in. Not only did she bring on great STCO who truly tried to support her the whole time, except for one, but she absolutely let herself get dragged emotionally up and down the court on this game. And no one put in the heart and soul that she did in this episode. So much tear play, so much naked emotion, and yet so little new information. And for all those reasons, Kyle is also my MVP.
Yeah, she really brought it. I think she confirmed she's the tops in Beverly Hills and maybe all the franchises. We'll see as I continue to calculate the RSS scores.
Okay, so lay it on me.
Okay, I've got my reunion seating scores pulled up here. And I'm just going to go with averages. I think that's, you know, more interesting way to look at it. And as I was explaining to Jackie last episode, your averages are generally going to be like, if you're like a standard housewife, you're making it to all the reunions, you're going to be somewhere around a one. The perfect score would be a two. That's like you're making the hot seat every single season. So that's very difficult to attain, would be a two or higher. So your score is somewhere between a one and a two. If you're below one, that means you had like a friend contract or maybe you didn't make it to the reunion or something like that. So we have Garcelle. She's had four seasons of play now. And after this season, she is at a one. She has never had a hot seat. She's never had a guest. She's just a 1 point player. So
she's a solid
average
player.
RSS is a one. Crystal makes our averages for the first time this season. It was her third season, so she has three seasons of play, and she also is a one. She is a 1 point player at this point in her housewife's career. And then we go up from there. I didn't like put these in order beforehand, so I want to make sure.
I know, I was sort of doing the same thing, just scrolling up and down, because it's got all of the players through history on our total sheet, Bleacher Nation. Yeah.
So
someday
next,
we'll post these for you.
And Anna Marie's not included in this because she doesn't have enough seasons to play, but she got one point for this season. Dorit is next, and she has a 1.04. So just a hair above a 1 point player. The only time she's ever had anything exciting for her at a reunion, she never had the hot seat, but she did have her very first season. She had PK as a guest because PK and Erica went at it all season long about Erica accidentally flashing him. It was really awful. That was a really awful season. I was like, really? This is our whole storyline?
Wow.
It really lasted the entire season. You're really glad
this
that you
is why I'm hoping we can get a former producer to talk to us, because I would love to talk about how the storylines, like the work going in to develop the storylines through the footage, like combing through footage to find a storyline. Anyway.
So then tied after that, we have Sutton, who this is her fourth season, and she has a 1.13. So this was her first season with a hot seat. So it's starting to pull her up out of a lower score that she had before. So we'll see.
Yeah, because she was a friend of her first season. So she she started with a 0.5, which will really pull your average down.
Yeah, but she's starting to pull it up now. So she's got a 1.13. She's getting up there. She's tied with Erica Girardi, who has had eight seasons of play and is also at a 1.13. Erica's only had one hot seat.
You would think she would have had more.
And then coming in first place, soaring high above everyone else, is Kyle Richards with a 1.98. A 1.98. She's close to a 2.0. It's crazy.
I know. Oh, she just had 2 years where she didn't have a hot seat and did not have a friend on either of those. I think if she had a friend on either of those episodes, she would be.
And that one season 10, that's one of the ones that she doesn't have a hot seat, was the COVID year where nobody had a hot seat and nobody had a guest.
Yeah.
Because it was all floating faces. So that's really that. She'd probably be above a 2.0 if it weren't for that. And yeah, she gets a guest like constantly. It's not like she had Mo a bunch in the first seasons. She's had her sisters. She's when they don't have friend contracts, they count as her guest. And she even had last season, she had Jamie Lee Curtis.
What?
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis what? Came on because Jamie Lee Curtis like came on and hosted this event with Kyle and then came on the reunion to talk about it because Dorit had like, there's this whole thing where like Dorit was like so excited about Jamie Lee Curtis's products and it made Jamie Lee Curtis's like sales go up crazy high. So she came on the episode just to kind of promote her products more and like thank Dorit and give her a thing. But she came as Kyle's guest because Kyle and her are friends.
Oh, so, nice.
So yeah, that's where we're sitting. I mean,
all right.
It's more spread. Like if you go in the other seasons, it's more spread out. And again, we have past players who have better scores. So like Lisa Rinna is a 1.5 when she went out. Lisa Vanderpump has a 1.64. So we have some people with like a little bit higher right. who have left in the past.
What about Brandy Glanville?
Brandy Glanville's not that high. She has a one. She's tied with Erica and Sutton. She has a 1.13.
No.
Her first season, she's basically the same as Sutton because she had, when she went out, she had the same number of seasons of Sutton. She started as a friend and she got a hot seat the last episode and then she left. The last season and then she left.
Yeah. It is hard. It is very hard without a hot seat to get your average up.
Yeah. You got to be in that hot seat and you got to do it season after season after season to get something like Kyle has. I mean, that is really impressive, really incredible. That's why she's been there for so long. And we'll see. I mean, I was doubting at the beginning of the reunion whether Kyle was going to come back or not. But at the end of the reunion, it was sounding, I didn't have doubts anymore. I feel like she's coming back.
Yeah, I feel like she's coming back as well. Yeah, I'm not super worried about that.
So we are done, you know, covering the play in this season, but we will come back for our end of season summary and we're going to have a special guest on to cover that with us. We'll pick our like play of the season, our MVP of the season, all that. We talk about everyone's storylines. It's a super fun episode. So I highly recommend tuning in for that. And then after that, we are going to talk about Hustler and the Housewife. Is that what it's
called? Yeah, parts
Housewife
one.
Housewife and the Hustler?
I
don't know what direction that goes.
Tom and Erica. Yes. And it's really mostly, it's a lot about Tom and the fraud, especially the first one is it's a really learning a lot about the fraud and the victims, which I think is nice.
Yeah. And there's stuff in there that I didn't know about. It's been an interesting watch for me so far. I'm halfway through part two.
Nice. All right. Yeah. And then, we have essentially then we work our way into New Jersey.
Yeah, probably New Jersey, which they've pushed it back. It's going to be starting in May now, they're saying. So we'll have some stuff for you between now and then. And I'm sure we'll do like a ramp up episode two where we'll talk about like the history of these players and what their scores are going into the season and all that before we head into it. So
I like it. I like it. That's good. A good teaser episode on New Jersey. And then we're just going to talk a lot about gossip plays and how you play with that many husbands. Everywhere.
So a lot of husband play on New Jersey.
Just husbands and people. They talk shit about somebody and then one person just goes and tells the other person what was said. Rinse, repeat.
And family drama.
But we'll see. Maybe, you know, it'll be interesting instead of watching them all at 1.5 speed, it'll be interesting to slow down and watch them with the purpose of analysis.
Yes.
All right, friend. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.